All right. Well, let's go ahead and take our Bibles out. 2 Peter chapter 1. Yep, that's where we were last week. We're not done yet, okay? Last week was one of four Wednesdays that we're going to spend looking at that passage. And last week we started looking at the four stages of spiritual maturity as given by the Apostle Peter, okay? We don't have to make all the same mistakes that Peter did, and he made a few, didn't he? Poor guy, he gets piled on a lot, and he's done a bunch. We need to remember that, or God has done a bunch through him. But we can learn from him, and Peter is sharing those insights with us here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, last week we saw we are partakers of the divine nature. When you get saved, God equips us with everything that we need to live the Christian life. God lives inside of us, in fact. And we also saw that we are, maybe not me, extremely selfish. Yes, me, okay? We can all be selfish at times. And in order to grow spiritually, we have to deal with that. We have to recognize, admit, confess before God and ourselves that we are sinful, selfish people. And yet, God has given and equipped all of us still with everything that we need to live the Christian life. But then, as we saw in the passage, he gives us faith to be saved, okay? A person cannot work up their own faith. God gives them faith. They accept salvation by faith. And then we are to add to that. Now, we're already saved, okay? I clarified that last week, and we need to keep clarifying that. We're already saved. Now, let's look at verse 5. And it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And so the verses continue. We are to add to our faith. We are to add the word diligence. Remember what it meant? Lavishly. We are to add, give all diligence to add. We are to add lavishly, abundantly, all of these characteristics that we're looking at. Abundantly add them. So what does that mean? Don't skimp, okay? Don't have the, this is good enough attitude when it comes to our spiritual growth. We need to keep adding. Now, a new Christian very seldom deals with that. It's those of us that have been saved for a while who think, you know, especially if you've been, if your pre-Christian, pre-saved life was like visibly wild and wicked, and then we look at where we're at today, and we start to coast. We've just stopped adding at that point. Then we looked at the first two characteristics last week that are mentioned there. And those were moral and doctrinal purity. That's the first stage of spiritual maturity, is moral and doctrinal purity, which means moral means making right moral choices, okay? Dating and waiting, marriage, entertainment, TV, videos, internet, the people that we surround ourselves with that influence us, making right choices about that, the things that we listen to on the radio, the books that we read, the thoughts that we are thinking, which nobody ever knows about, the way we treat our family, all of those choices, it is a day-by-day process of making right moral choices. The second characteristic was knowledge, okay, or doctrinal purity. That is simply study of the Word of God. Christians need to study the Word of God. We can't mature without the knowledge of the Bible. You remember last week, those of you that have just had medical procedures, John, okay, would you feel comfortable if your doctor read like a 5-minute medical devotional in his training? Absolutely not. Who goes there, right? We're supposed to be the experts on God, folks. The world is not. And they are twisting and diminishing and tarnishing God's name, God's truth. We're supposed to be the experts on it. They're not going to come here to ask questions. God has us go to them. We cross their paths at work, at school, for our youngsters, when we're out playing, when we're in the store. We are to be the experts. And if we're going to be experts, we have to study. Now, this was only the starting point of spiritual maturity. This is the beginner stage. So now let's move on to the intermediate stage, or maybe I should say emotional maturity stage, because that's what's being dealt with here with these next two characteristics. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." Now, verse 6, "And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience." Those are the two that we'll look at tonight. "And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity." We'll get to those in the next couple of weeks. There are two characteristics in this stage that I want us to consider tonight: temperance and patience. Neither one of these two things are actions. You can't do temperance. You can't do patience. They are feelings of the heart, so to speak. That's why I call this emotional maturity here. Why is it that new Christians are so excited about the things of God? New Christians. Why is it, as we say, they get fired up? And then why is it after 1 or 2 or 3 years, many times, suddenly it seems like they cool off instead of being fired up still? Could it be they're entering a new phase of spiritual maturity right there? James chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Oh, that's one of our characteristics tonight, isn't it? In the intermediate stage, a new stage of spiritual maturity. James says, "Know this, the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So the path to spiritual maturity comes through the path of trials and patience. As James is pointing out to us, there are people who reach their adult years who have never matured emotionally in some very basic areas, spiritually speaking, okay? They cause problems in their homes or in their church, in their life, because of emotional immaturity when it comes to spiritual matters. Things that they say, the way they react, responsibilities that they don't take on. So let's consider these two characteristics just in the time that we have left tonight. First of all, temperance. Let's consider that. Temperance is the word for self-control. That's what God's talking about when that word temperance is used there. Self-control. Temperance means to say no to what your desires want you to say yes to. I like that. I come across that in my reading. It means to say no to the desires that want you to say yes. Temperance means to hold yourself in. When a person has temperance, they are learning self-control. Now, we could imagine this, okay? The young people aren't in here, so we'll just pick on them. Okay? A teenager with a video game. What do you think? Self-control or lack of self-control? When they've been there for 5 hours, their thumb joints are swollen up, their eyes are bloodshot, and they can't stop because they got to get to the next level, right? Lack of self-control. A person that has self-control, they're not dominated by their feelings, but they're controlled by faith. Now, with that, we can start making some adult applications, perhaps. They don't let their circumstances be their boss, in other words. Like, for example, I had one older lady tell me one time, not here, on her way out of church, she shook my hand, and she was a type that just always spoke her mind. And she told me, she said, "I just have to say what's on my mind." I said, "Okay, yep." And the problem is, usually someone that's like that, what they say just reveals their lack of spiritual maturity, okay? Lack of self-control. She just confessed it to her pastor on her way out of church that day. Maybe we can understand it this way. The difference between living by priorities and living by pressures. You know, when we're living by pressures, everything that's happening is dictating what we do, when we do it, and how quickly we do it, or how well we do it, because of the pressure. And we're responding just to the pressure instead of living by priorities. Do we all live by pressure occasionally? Yes, yes, absolutely, okay? The 2 weeks prior to Bible school, okay, Pastor Taylor and I are just living by pressure on those 2 weeks before, okay? The month of December, whoever's in charge of the children's Christmas program, living by pressure, okay? Occasionally, we live by pressures, and the decisions we make, what we do, where we go, when we do it, how we do it, all of those are dictated by those external pressures. Things can happen sometimes, and we can just get hammered with everything in life that's happening all at once. But as a general practice, we need to live by priorities. Not necessarily what is good, what is bad, but what is best. And that means maybe saying no to some things that are good. For example, if your pastor helping you and meeting your every need, that's good, isn't it? Okay. Go ahead, Larry. You can shake your head yes. Yeah, it is good. Okay. But if I spent all my time doing that and totally ignored the needs of my wife, but I'm doing good things. And you're not like this. But 150, 200 people, they all have these expectations that I serve them and meet their needs, the pressures. But I have to prioritize. That's what we have to do. And we have to exhibit self-control. We have to work at that, okay? It's frustrating to have desires of what you want to get done and you can't complete any of them, right? Those ladies, as you're planning your Christmas gatherings, families coming over, okay? And you have this plan tomorrow. I'm going to get up at this time. I'm going to get the house clean. I'm going to go do my shopping. I'm going to start this meal, this part of the meal. I'm going to get the presents wrapped. And by 5 o'clock the next day, you haven't done any of those things. Frustrating, isn't it? It's okay to have a day like that. But when it becomes the norm, that's when, oh no, we need to step back and evaluate some things. So when those things happen, what is God doing in your life? Not the norm, okay, but those occasions where we just get hammered. What is God doing? Well, he's trying to help us realize that you've got to get back to self-control. You've got to have temperance. And we're lacking that self-discipline. What does God use in our life to build temperance? That's one of the things that we are to add, okay? What does he use to build temperance? Think back to the James passage. Anyone remember? What's that? Trials. Yes, yes. That bring about the temperance, okay? The self-control, the self-discipline. He uses trials to help build that in our lives. Now, most of the time when a trial comes into our life, what do we do? Trial, difficulty, what do? Panic. Or, boom, we drop to our knees. God, please take this away. God says, I want you to learn something through this. Ow, man. Oh, that's not so fun. He uses temptation, okay, to build our self-discipline. Self-control is developed in the battle with temptation or trials. And God uses them in our lives like he did with the Israelites in the Old Testament, in fact. God doesn't tempt us, but he uses the temptations to grow us. He uses those trials. Let me go back to James chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. What's a desire? What does it look like? Well, you can't see a desire because it's an emotion. It's a feeling inside. Okay, and that's why it fits in with this characteristic that we're looking at here. So what do? We battle with these desires in our heart. And as we obey God and say no to those desires, what does it do? It strengthens our faith and builds us up spiritually. If we're saying no to those desires, we're exhibiting self-control, saying no to those desires, and our faith is built up. We learn to say no to what we feel like saying yes to. In what areas might we need to learn to say no to what we want to say yes to? Anyone have any ideas? What's that? Oh boy, that was my last one. I was saving that to the very end. Yeah, forget what Pat said. How about our time and how we spend our time, okay? We have what we want to do, but we also have what we need to do, okay? Our thought life, saying no to what we want to say yes to. Our temper, our tongues, saying no to what we want to say. This one is maybe a little ouch. Saying no to what our desires want to say yes to in the area of finances. Whoa, that can get messy, can it? When people can't say no to what their desires want to say yes to. And our taste buds. Saying no to what they want us to say yes to. The point is, spiritual maturity comes as we learn to discipline ourselves. We're talking about stages of spiritual maturity. We're in the intermediate stage dealing with emotions, feelings, this matter of self-discipline. Our spiritual maturity will continue to grow when we learn to discipline ourselves, okay? I just don't have time to read my Bible. Would you say, and I'm not saying you've said that, but if someone were to say that, would you say they have a discipline problem somewhere? Yeah, because they have just as much time as you have to read your Bible, 24 hours in a day. But they are saying yes to what their desires want them to say yes to instead of saying no to that, and then they run out of time to read their Bible during a day. Or study their Bible. Let's go on to the second characteristic for tonight, patience. Patience, we're talking about endurance. It means stick it out. It means don't quit what you've started. By the way, I am so excited. I'm just going to spill the beans right now. Don't say anything to her, okay, please? And those of you that are live streaming, don't say anything to this young girl. Caitlin was so excited. She came up to me Sunday. I almost started crying. She is completing reading her Bible through for the first time this year. And she was so pumped about it. Woo! And that got me pumped. I'm telling you. Man, that is awesome. So when she gets her certificate, okay, after the first of the year, please make a big deal about that with her. Encourage her with that. I think that is just awesome. She didn't quit what she started, okay? She did confess. She says, I did get a little bit behind, but I think I'm going to be able to catch up. So, okay, I didn't ask her how behind she was. but endurance, don't quit what you started. Solve problems. Don't shrink from them. Many times we can start something good, and then if there's problems that come up, oh, forget that. It's not worth it. This is too hard. Right things usually are hard. Don't shrink back from them. Let your troubles become stepping stones, not stumbling blocks in your spiritual life. Do you know what a trial is? It's something you can't get out of. Okay, that may be a good way to start fencing this in. A trial is something you can't get out of, but you wish you could. You wish you could, metaphorically speaking, put wings on your back and just fly away. That happened to David. He actually provided that metaphor. He said, oh, if I had wings as a dove, I would fly away. Can you relate to that one? Okay. God says, no, you're not going anywhere. You're staying right where you are. I'm teaching you something important here, right where you're at. Definition, stay under that trial. Stay right where you are. Don't move. Don't go anywhere. And let God use this to change you. So God, he puts us in these things, these moments, these divinely ordained tribulations, we can call them. And he squeezes us. And we can feel the pressure. And we feel the stress. God puts us there. And you know what God wants us to do? Stay there. Endure. Stick it out. At the end of that, when we come through the other side, what has God developed? Character. Patience is what's been developed when we stick it out. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Here's where Peter talks about this some more. He says, but the God of all grace. Okay, so God, grace. They go hand in hand. Who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while, the God of all grace will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. All of those words, we can boil them down to this, spiritual maturity. That's what the God of grace is doing with us. So how will God do this? How is God going to help us spiritually mature? It says, after you have suffered a while. So we got to go through it. The endurance here is not just us. Let's try to figure out what it looks like. It's not just us growling like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. It's the endurance of your faith. In other words, as we're going through it, our faith stays strong. and it's not getting kicked out from underneath of us. And we're not thinking, where is God in all of this? What is going on? This isn't worth it. It is believing God as you're going through it, trusting God as you're going through it, and it doesn't weaken. And then when you get to the other side, you look back and think, wow, God, amazing. And now your faith is now strengthened, and you've just grown spiritually. In other words, you're thinking, you know what? God's got this. He's in control. I believe this. I'm not worried. He already has a plan, and his plans are always good, by the way. Okay? Did you hear what I just said? God's got this. He's in control. I believe this. I'm not worried. He has a plan, and his plans are always good. Now, I can say those things because I know the Bible teaches that God is sovereign. He's in control. I know that he loves me with a perfect love. I know he wants only the best for me because I've seen that in the Bible. I know, what is that? Knowledge. We talked about that last week in the beginner stage of spiritual maturity. I'm saved. There's my faith. I've added knowledge. That was the second characteristic that we looked at last week. And because I've been studying God's word, or you even, now my patience and endurance is matured as well because I've got that foundation of knowledge. What I've just described and what we're talking about is what we call the process of sanctification. It's just God building and growing us. Every time we open God's word, every time we come to God's house and we hear the word of God, every day that we are faithful to him, he is perfecting us. He is maturing us. He is growing us day by day. We have bad days? Absolutely. He is perfecting us and growing us day by day. Folks, we have to stay faithful. We have to endure. We have to stick it out. We have to learn to say no to self and yes to God. So, how long does this intermediate stage last, by the way? We're always in it, okay? We're always in it. There's an encouragement for you there. It lasts forever. Until we're in heaven, we're always in this part for this stage here. we come to God every day, and we say, God, I can make it. And God says, sure you can, because, my friend, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you, equips you to live this Christian life and endure. And guess what we're learning to do? In the midst of our weakness, in the midst of us recognizing, you know what? I can't do this. Then we are becoming strong because then we're learning to depend on God. And that's part of the growing process. So we're going to stop there for tonight. And let's go ahead and break up into some groups to have prayer.